Jack Cassidy, Let Go, Let God, WWIB. Good morning. I think we've got two of the three of us who are here this morning who remember Jack Cassidy. One of them, I remember David Cassidy. Jason Cans, you'd remember David Cassidy, right?
I think so. He was on the Partridge Family,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
But my 19-year-old son, Dawson, is here. Dawson, when I say David Cassidy, no clue.
Can't say it rings any bells.
Yeah. So,
have you ever heard of the Partridge Family?
That sounds a little more familiar. I don't know what they are.
TV show, early 70s, maybe?
All right.
Yeah.
What do they do?
They were like a musical family.
Okay.
And so David Cassidy was one of those teen heartthrobs, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think they rode around in a bus and mm-hmm. sang songs. And I think my family would probably like to do that.
Remember, Danny Bonaducci was one of the characters on there. I think his name may
little
have
redhead.
Been. He may have been Danny, and he was a radio guy for many years, actually. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. So when you think of 2020, I mean, certainly the pandemic is the most defining thing, but the other majorly defining aspect of 2020 was the death of George Floyd. That happened a year ago today, May 25th, which was Memorial Day last year.
Wow. You know, thinking about that, it seems to me it's been so prominent, I think, for so long. I would have guessed it was longer ago than that.
Hmm.
But yeah. I don't know.
1 year ago today, so.
Yeah, regardless, a tragedy, you know, and I think that that's something we will probably remember each year moving forward for a while. So, yeah.
That's right. Okay, so there was a post on Facebook over the weekend, and here's what it said. It said, the person put this from something called Stand Steadfast. It said, Jesus didn't eat with sinners and tax collectors because he wanted to appear inclusive, tolerant, and accepting. He ate with them. And let me just ask you, without knowing, and maybe you've seen it, actually, because I sent it to you. But, I mean, if you didn't know, what would you have guessed? He ate with them, and I would have guessed he ate with them because he loved them, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It actually
says
he ate with them to call them to repentance.
Hmm. You know, just hearing that, and this probably reflects my own bias, but it doesn't sit right with
me. Right,
I agree.
You know, you know, I think of that, and, you know, I think of when I consider the life of Jesus, how it seems to set him up as is that he's trying to catch people and be like, well, you people are really bad, you know, and I just don't get that sense in the reading the narratives about Jesus interacting with people. Maybe it depends on how one defines repentance. You know, is it turning back into knowing that they're loved by God? Maybe. But it seems to me that it's this idea of, well, you better be careful. And that I wrestle with that, quite honestly.
There were two comments on the post. Joy said, and when he ate with them, he didn't scold them, but he did scold the religious hypocrites.
Right, yep.
And Mark Halverson put me down for he ate with them because he, capital letters, loved them just as they were, as Romans 5:8 tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, adding, if Jesus loved us enough to die for us as sinners, he certainly loved us enough to eat with us.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I think that's exactly right. And that seems to me, and this is, again, it's probably going to shock some people, maybe not, but that for me reflects part of the bias or part of the problem I see with how we interact with people nowadays. We don't come to conversations with either believers or non-believers with a desire to love well.
Mm-hmm.
We come with a desire to correct. Mm-hmm. And that's non-relational. I mean, that is such a hard place to come from. And who wants to spend time with someone who just comes to correct them all the time? I don't.
I think what Jesus saw as he came from the Father to us for 33 years is the idea that everybody's made in the image of God. And in recent time, we lost Francis Schaeffer. Actually, it was the month of May, 1984. But he was big on that. Like, everybody's made in the image of God. And why did they have people from all over the world go see him at Le Brie in Switzerland? Because he saw that, you know, God's stamp on everyone. And so regardless of where you're at, what your philosophical or religious thinking is, I mean, here's the deal. You can't read the Gospels at all without... Jesus was called a drunkard and a glutton. He was called a friend of sinners. And right. I think to just say he ate with them to somehow... I don't think he was opposed to them ultimately turning from their wrong deeds, but...
of course not. Right. Yeah.
Right. I just think that for starters, you say he loved them, so...
Yeah. Well, I think change comes through a relationship, right? I mean, it... Mm-hmm. Too often we want to correct from a distance and rather than engaging people right where they're at.
And as I shared that with some Christian friends at a prayer group we were a part of on Sunday night, I mean, they were just like, we're all continually repenting in the Christian life. So to just single out these folks is really something.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye. All right. Best 5 minutes of the day, and it's usually about 6 minutes like it was today. It's the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. Good to have you aboard this morning.
Hi, my name is Sizzlin' Steph, and here I am aboard the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, and we're here in Connecticut today auditioning kids and kids at heart to be in the next Oscar Mayer commercial and win tickets.
Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, right?
Yeah. Of course, I remember that
song. A memorable commercial, yes.
I remember the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile came to my college at one point.
Really?
That was one of those...
Cedarville,
Ohio. Yeah, one of those great perks.
Wow.
Did you get to drive it or sit in it?
No. Okay. Took some pictures.
All right. Yeah, well, every summer they're advertising like they need a driver for it, you know?
So. Right. That would be a cool job. I have to say, you guys, I was startled, shocked, and concerned when I found out my coworkers actually put ketchup on their bratwurst. I was I'm a Milwaukee girl.
I did not know this was a crime against humanity.
Mustard and sauerkraut on your bratwurst. Mustard, maybe ketchup on your hot dog.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever heard Bob Uecker talk about ketchup.
Okay.
When he's using her sausage.
So, listeners, will you text me at 715-396-1670? Does ketchup belong on a bratwurst?
Well,
does it?
We need to back up because I think you were. The fact is, it reported this morning the number for the day that we in America consume 5 billion hot dogs every summer. That's not the year, that's just the summer. And Cliff from Spooner in the listener line at 396-1670 said ketchup on a hot dog is a crime among dog aficionados,
yes.
Especially in Chicago. He
yes.
says there was a scene in Magnum PI back in the 80s where he went off on someone about it.
Yeah.
And so he says mustard for him only. You seem to be bothered, perturbed even, when it was just hot dogs that Caleb had said ketchup and mustard on
now,
his hot dog.
Slightly in my defense here, I did say if I were having a true Chicago hot dog, you do not bring ketchup anywhere
You're
near
right.
that.
You're right.
And I do love, it's one of the small redeeming qualities of Illinois, the Chicago hot dogs are very, very good. The all beef dog, and you've got that bright green relish and the steamed pot cheese on it, et cetera, and the sport peppers. Yeah, so you... The pickle spear, you do not have ketchup on that.
Right.
But if I'm having just, you know, grab it from Aldi or whatever, those hot dogs, yeah, I'll put a little ketchup with the mustard
I
on
don't
there.
Get
and
it.
Mustard became more of an acquired taste for me as I grew older. So I do love to have the mustard on there, but I kind of mix it with the ketchup, you know, the little
and I
swirls.
Like the personality quiz we took, I think, Friday here last week, the type A personalities. I mean, I like ketchup and mustard on my hot dog, the blending. And ketchup and mustard on my brat, or I may go the sauerkraut direction, just sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the fact that it says mustard is the number one topping for hot dogs.
Because that is the appropriate topping. And the only reason I didn't make a big deal out of hot dogs is because I think a lot of listeners might agree that ketchup's okay for hot dogs, and I want to win. So, 715-396-1670.
Thank you, Michelle. She says, yes, I need ketchup on a brat.
Yeah.
No mustard, she says. Thank you, Michelle, at 396-1670. And here's the thing. We are not anti-mustard, Mark and I.
No,
we're
no,
just
no.
saying
no.
ketchup is okay.
All right.
Silver Spring Horseradish, I think they have mustard, right? So
okay, if I lose this weekend, I will be putting ketchup on a brat. I'm going to try.
I mean, I think ketchup, mustard, I think relish is another one. Here's the actual order. It goes mustard, then ketchup, then chili, then relish in terms of hot dog toppings.
Okay.
Chili dogs are good. And real uh-huh. quick, here's what I probably would put on a brat. I would put ketchup, mustard, and little, like, finely diced onions
yeah,
on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Maybe relish, but I usually pick one or the other, relish or,
right.
or the
So,
the
Susan, have you ever had ketchup and mustard on a brat? And if
Never.
Not, how can you knock it if you haven't tried it?
All right. You're right. Since one of my life credos is I could be wrong. I'm just going to say I could be wrong. All I don't think so. Everything in me says no.
No, it's very...
I'm going to try it.
It's very tasty. I'm turning the ketchup age next month, you know, 57. Heinz 57.
Well, I for sure have to try it. The new one.
It's the WIB Wake Up Show. Caleb, Susan, and Halvo, WWIB, and WIB.com. And, you know, we were actually talking a little bit off air about Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a classic. It's the book where Carnegie confidently says, I want you to read every chapter twice before you go to the next chapter. I've never done that, but he really wants you to get it in. And one of the things is like, you know, a person's name is the most important thing in the world to them. He also talks about not arguing with people. And so there's some great concepts. But we have here this morning on the show three steps to becoming more likable.
I like this.
Okay.
Because it isn't like, at first I thought, well, this is kind of manipulative, how to get people to like you. Mm-hmm. But it isn't. These are three tips that you can kind of check yourself and say, am I doing this? Or what am I conveying here with people? And the first one is, look people in the eye. Uh-huh. This sends the message that you're sincere. Shifting your eyes around makes people think you're not listening to them or you're bored. Oh. Now, as someone who, believe it or not, as a child, I was shy. Hmm. And I had a really hard time with looking people in the eye. So even if you're shy, make an effort to look people in the eye because you want to convey that you're interested in them.
Yeah, that's a confidence thing, too.
Yeah. I think my parents always encouraged me, and again, especially as a kid talking to adults, you look them in the eye, and they said, be careful with shyness, because shyness can be selfishness as well, where it's just a crutch, and it's just, oh, I'm shy. It's like, well, no, if you care about someone else, if you care about someone else, then you'll put their needs above your own.
That's so wise. Yeah, I never heard that.
Look them in the eye, you'll be respectful to them. So
I like it.
What's another one? Another step to becoming more likable.
Well, how about... Oh, Caleb, you take this one.
All right.
Because you know what? Doing all of them is selfishness.
Of course, this one would come to me. Stay tuned in. When someone's telling a story, make the effort to ask follow-up questions. So if your coworker is telling you about their recent vacation, ask them about the weather, what kind of activities they did while they were there. Follow-up questions show that you're interested in the conversation, that you're actually listening to it, which is one of my... biggest downfalls is that my wife sometimes says, your mind is off in a completely different direction.
Easy to do when you have a lot in your mind. Something.
Yeah, but again, goes back to selfishness, right? And again, prefer others above yourselves. And a lot of it comes back to Philippians 2:4, right?
So. Yeah, consider others. You know, you're in good company, though. Josh McDowell would say that his wife Dottie would say, you're on a free speech platform in Bolivia. You know, I mean, it was kind of like, that's where he's at. And finally, give a compliment. Genuine flattery always goes a long way, but avoid using generic compliments. Make it specific towards the person you're talking to. We all like encouragement. I mean, even if you don't call words of affirmation your love language, I mean, I always like what Craig Groeschel said from Life Church. He said, take however much you praise the people who work in your organization and quadruple it. Wow. I mean, that's how hungry people are for affirmation.
Right.
So,
and sometimes we squash down those impulses to say something because we think, oh, they're going to judge. But I try to do that even if I'm checking out in a store. If somebody has put like some effort into their outfit or something, I notice it. I try to notice it because I think I would like that if someone did that for me.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Three steps to becoming more likable on the WIB Wake Up Show.
It's time to live your best life. And these aren't major life changes. These are just little tips that I found on my friend Lila Severson's Facebook page.
Thank you, Lila, for the content.
Yes, she's a credible source, an amazing woman. And so we just have some little tips that might improve your daily life. Go ahead, Caleb.
All right. Take your bananas apart when you get home from the store. If you leave them connected at the stem, they ripen faster.
Did not know that.
No one likes to spy bananas until they get turned into banana bread. But, I mean, again, it seems like those and avocados.
Speaking of bananas, I saw a whole Facebook post the other day about what a great energy source bananas are. So,
potassium.
What else, Susan?
Oh, okay. Well, how about this? Peppers with three bumps on the bottom are sweeter and better for eating. Peppers with four bumps on the bottom are firmer and better for cooking. So different varieties of green peppers. That's important because it seems like vegetables go bad very quickly at my house, so maybe pick those four bump peppers to stay firmer longer.
Interesting. Who knew? We are a big cheese-loving house, so take this one to heart. Store your opened chunks of cheese in aluminum foil. It'll stay fresh much longer and not mold.
I like that.
I think this one is interesting again. Have we banned the saying life hacks on this show? Pro tips.
We don't have to.
Pro tips from the Whip Wake Up Show. When reheating pizza, and I like cold pizza, but how about this? Heat up your leftover pizza in a nonstick skillet on top of the stove. Set heat to medium-low and heat till warm. This keeps the crust crispy. No soggy microwave pizza.
That sounds fast and delicious.
I saw this on the Cooking Channel. Really works.
I love it. And this is a great one for gardeners. Newspaper your weeds away. When you put in your plants, work the nutrients into your soil. Wet newspapers, then put layers of newspapers around the plants, overlapping as you go. Cover with mulch and forget about weeds. Weeds will get through some gardening plastic, but they will never get through wet newspapers. I like it.
I'll close with this. Add a teaspoon of water when frying ground beef or ground turkey, I guess. It'll help pull the grease away from the meat while cooking.
Wow.
One last little pro tip here. I really want to know if this works. Place a dryer sheet in your pocket to keep mosquitoes away.
Yeah.
You know, I will clothe myself in, yeah, in dryer sheets. Bounce me, please.
That would be great.
Okay, I'm doing that this weekend. I'm going to put dryer sheets in my pockets and catch up on my bratwurst.
Fantastic.
Okay.
We want to know how it turns out.
I'll let you know.